अनुकूलम् प्रभासशे भागवता प्रधान यद् आह वयस्कैर् आत्मविद्या विशारदो नृप्तिम् साधु पृष्ठ अथा विदेह्यंग मनोनुकूलम् प्रभासशे भागवत प्रधान यद् अहा वैशेषिकीर् आत्मविद्या विशारदो नृप्तिम् साधु पृष्ठ अथा विदेह अंग मनोनुकूलम् प्रभासशे भागवत प्रधान यद् अहा वैशकीर् आत्मविद्या विशारदो नृप्तिम् साधु पृष्ठ अथा विदेहेयं अंगमनोनुकूलम् प्रभासशे भागवत प्रधान यद् अहा वैशकीर् आत्मविद्या विशारदो नृप्तिम् साधु पृष्ठ माताजी अथ देयरफॉर Abhidehi, please explain, Anga, O Suta Goswami, Mana, mind, Anukulam, favorable of our mentality, favorable to our mentality, Prabhashashe, you do speak, Bhagavat, the great devotee, Pradhana, the chief, yat aha, what he spoke, Vyashakhi, Sukadev Goswami, Atma Vidya, transcendental knowledge, Visharada, expert, Nriptim, unto the king, Sadhu, very good, Prishtha, being asked. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Suta Goswami, your words are pleasing to our minds. Please therefore explain this to us as it was spoken by the great devotee Sukadev Goswami, who is very expert in transcendental knowledge and who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit upon being asked. Purport. Knowledge explained by the previous Acharya like Sukadev Goswami and followed by the next like Suta Goswami is always powerful transcendental knowledge and it is therefore penetrating and useful to all submissive students. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pure Devotional Service, The Change in the Heart.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi He Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So this is the last verse of this chapter. Excuse me. The chapter, as we said, is entitled Pure Devotional Service, The Change in the Heart. This is the second canto, third chapter. And these words are spoken by Shaunaka Didishi, telling to Suta Goswami, saying that, please, your words are very pleasing. Please, therefore, explain to us what was spoken originally by Sukadeva Goswami. So this very beautifully establishes the wonderful science of disciplic succession, that whatever we learn, especially in spiritual life, of course this applies to all other knowledge, it should ideally come down the disciplic succession. And that's how, when we hear this knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge, as it is mentioned here, when we hear from the disciplic succession coming down from guru and disciple, guru and disciple, guru and disciple, it becomes more and more sweeter. It becomes much, much more relishable. It is said that it is very pleasing. Your words are very pleasing. And it is said it is very penetrating. Penetrating where? In the heart. Because it has a potency of purity. If the same words spoken without any connection to the parampara, and we have so many examples of many, many people speaking, Bhagavatam is available everywhere, right? You can pick up the book and read, and if you have a God-given talent of speech, you can speak, and maybe you will have people coming to your kathas. There won't be a problem to get crowd. Never a problem, right? But that same Bhagavad Katha spoken, and I'm not giving a hypothetical situation, it is very prevalent, especially in our land of Bharat. It is very prevalent here that there are so many speakers, and I'm not here to be in any way, shape or form judging anybody. But it is for all of us to understand that if the speaker is not coming in a particular parampara, a particular disciplic succession, As Prabhupada explains many, many places, that it may sound like a bullet, but it will not have any effect. It will be like an empty bullet. I've done shooting. I've done shooting in a shooting range. And because I was a novice, they first gave me an empty bullet, just to make a feel of what is the recoil velocity, how it feels. It makes a sound, everything, but there's no bullet. There's nothing goes. But then they give me a live bullet, and then same sound, but it hits the target. So beautiful example, right? That it is like an empty bullet. If you are speaking without being connected to the parampara, and that is why you see Srila Prabhupada, and it is a practice in our ISKCON society, or for that matter any legitimate bona fide speaker, that he will always give due credit to the previous acharyas or to the person that he has heard from. And that is the proper way to really speak. Not to say that, you know what, this was my idea. Where we say, you know, this is from the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is from the purport of Raghunath Das Goswami. This is from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's purport. You know, so you give due credit because you understand that everything I speak, everything we should speak, should come down through a bona fide succession. So this verse, the last chapter, very clearly establishes, and it keeps on happening in the Bhagavatam, where it is again and again reminded that whatever we hear has to come in the parampara, bona fide parampara. Otherwise it is empty. The knowledge might sound very exciting, might sound very, very endearing, and the speaker might be very, very charismatic, but there won't be any change of heart. And that is why this chapter is called Pure Devotional Service, the Change of the Heart. What are we all trying to do, get by practicing devotional service? All of you who have come to this temple, all of you are sitting here, we can say with all honesty that we are all practitioners of devotional service in some way or the other. Yes? 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 Yes. Thank you. So we all are in some way or the other practitioners of devotional service. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya. And the process starts with Adau Shraddha, that initially there was some faith. Some faith because of whatever, some Agyat Sikriti or some connections or whatever. And then from Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha, we came in touch with some sadhus. Not necessarily sadhus mean somebody who wears a particular type of dress or a particular type of hairstyle, but in general a devotee of the Lord is called a sadhu. We came in touch with the sadhu, and then we start what is called bhajana kriya. We start doing some practice. I see many people having bead bags around their necks, so that means you are chanting, right? You are not doing it for show, right? It's not a style that, okay, I wear a bead bag when I come to temple. You are doing something about it. You are doing something inside it. There's something inside also, right? It's a bead, and you are chanting. You are doing some practice. So if you analyze, Prabhus, that when we practice Krishna consciousness, there are many, many changes that happen in our life. We don't many times realize, but over time, we find a lot of changes. What are the different changes that we have in our life? Right? I would love to take audience, but I think it is a different forum. So, our eating style changes, right? You all agree? Our way of eating changes. Yes? Please confirm to what I am saying. Yeah? We do change our eating habits. I mean, people who are eating stuff which is not allowed to be eaten, they don't eat that. And people who are even eating vegetarian food, our way of eating changes. We offer to Lord. I remember, you know, I was a new devotee. And I was with a senior devotee of the Lord. Very senior. I mean, senior to me. So, you know, we, ideally we are all supposed to not eat restaurant food. It is not the right thing, because in what consciousness it is made, it does affect our consciousness. So, a strict sadhaka may not indulge in eating restaurant food, and for that matter, is very, very conscious only if there is a need, but ideally not to be done. So I was going with this senior devotee. I was just maybe 6 months or a year in Krishna consciousness. And you know, this person and both of us were very hungry. We were going for some you know, sankirtan. We were collecting funds for our project. So we were going from office to office, and this gentleman is a doctor. And he was doing the service, we were together, and he asked me, "Hey, are you hungry?" I said, "Yeah, I'm very hungry." And we both of us have same you know, hunger habits. When we become hungry, we become angry. I think it's applicable to many people. So you know, we were going little berserk. I said, "Kuch to karna padega." And you know, and that time there was no devotee restaurant. Now we have a luxury of having devotee restaurants. So he said, "Okay, I'll." So he went to a particular stall. No, don't do this, okay? Just I'm giving example. Don't do this. So he went to a stall, and he's a very dynamic person. You can ask me the name privately. I'll share with you the name of this devotee. And he said that, "Hey, chalo abhi sab humko chahiye these two things. You have to make it hot for us." I said, "Sure." So he said, "Clean this whole thing first." I said, "No onion, garlic, nothing." I said, "Okay, fine." So he put things, he was making it. And then the person said, "Now you chant what I'm chanting while you're making." So I said, "This is interesting." I said, "You'll double paisa dega." So he was making, you can see from what I'm seeing what he was making. So he was making that. And he said, "Chalo, Hare Krishna, bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram." And then he made this, and then very without any regrets, without any bad feeling, we had the prasad khare, because this person made by chanting Hare Krishna, right? Anyway, the point is that we become very conscious of what we eat. Yes, so eating habit changes, our dressing style changes. Yes, the way we dress, it changes. I would never in my dreams ever wear a dhoti when I was not a devotee. Dhoti was, but dhoti, saris, our whole dressing habits changes. You know, I travel many times, many places that we go outside. You know, for Indians, this is still a traditional dress. We used to wear this. This is our dress, which is given by our ancestors to us, right? But in places, which are not in India, overseas, but they, for them it's such a change. But they wear dhoti, kurta, saris. So the dress changes, the eating habits change. The type of people whom we associate changes completely. Right? I remember it was a 180 degrees change in my life when I was, I was a devotee. I was not a devotee, and then in maybe a matter of a week, I could see that significant change, and I'm sure all of us also see that our whole change is there in the type of people that we associate with. We have a dislike for people who are not necessarily inclined to Krishna consciousness. The places that we visit changes. When I mean places of visit, before we are devotee, we like to go to all sorts of places to visit, right? Hill stations. I remember, after I became a devotee, my parents, they were happy in Krishna consciousness, but they were little bewildered. Okay, how does a devotee, how do they function? So the concept in general is that you go to a place, suppose you go to, say, a hill station, say, Kulu Manali, whatever. It's a hill station, right? So you go to that place, then you will not go to that place again, right? You will go to another place. Yes, in general. So, I told my parents, "I'm going to Vrindavan." I said, "Very good, go to Vrindavan." We went. Next year again, I said, "Papa, I'm going to Vrindavan." I said, "Hey, again to Vrindavan?" Then third year again Vrindavan. I said, tumko aur koi jagah nahi milta hai kya? You know, but we all understand why we keep on going to Vrindavan. We don't need any more places. Why we keep on going to Sridhar Mayapur? Why we going to Jagannath Puri? We don't need. You know, and another thing I observed, you know, that the concept of coming to temple changes. Earlier, we would just come to a temple, have darshan, and it was a etiquette that you don't leave the temple immediately. So you sit on the. Right? It's a custom. I remember at least I was trained. So you sit, and I was sometimes, I would sit and in 1 second get up and go. Just ritualistic, right? So you just come, you have darshan, any temple you go, and then you sit for a second or five minutes, whatever, and you leave. So again, my parents, I said, I can understand 15 minutes. I can understand half an hour. I said, but you go to temple in the morning, you come in the night. What do you do there? Yes. We come, all of us come for Mangala Arati. And many times we are in the temple. So the whole concept of being a temple for the whole day is unheard of. Yes, you agree? In general, people, you say, where did you spend the Sunday? You spending the whole day in the mall is fine, acceptable. But temple? Or kidhar gaya? Are temple? Are, but where else you went? You spend the whole day in the temple. So basically our whole concept, you see how, we might not realize, but how our lives have changed. Our eating habits, our speaking habits, the way we speak changes, right? Our lingo changes. And I've shared this earlier, maybe it may be a repetitive for some people, but again, when I was a new devotee, so I was fascinated by the way devotees speak. Prabhuji, I am your humble servant. You never hear this, right? Do you hear this in any of the outside discussions? Are boss, main baap hai. That's what we hear. Right? I mean, this type of very, very proud, pride-filled words. But I'm a humble servant. So this is very nice. And the way they're so humble, they're so... So I was with two devotees. And they were talking, and they were exchanging, a conversation. And one devotee said, "Prabhu, I'm your servant. I'm very fallen." So no, I was very fascinated. Please understand, the first time you hear this, you say, "I was very fallen." So obviously, you have to figure out what does the word "fallen" mean, from where you have fallen. Because usually when you say fallen means from somewhere you have fallen, but then you sort of connect, maybe he has fallen from the spiritual. Some say you connect, because I'm very fallen. So he said, "No, Prabhuji, I am very fallen." Then one devotee, this to what extent the lingo changes. One devotee said, "Prabhuji, I am so fallen, I am like the worm in your stool. I am like the worm in your stool." And I said, "My God, what's that?" Because we don't even talk about this. Forget mentioning such things, right? So this is, because this is, of course, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this particular line is there. To epitomize your humility. So the other devotee was sort of stumped. He said, "Abhi, ye to bahut bhari bol diya." So then I was looking at the other devotee, what will be his reply? Now guess what he said. I say with all honesty, I'm sitting on a Vyasasana. He said, the other devotee said, "Prabhu, I am like the worm in the stool of that worm." Now, you know, don't try to figure out what it means. But all I'm trying to drive the point is, Prabhu, please, the point is important, is that our whole talking lingo changes. The way we talk, the way we believe in... changes. Some, that person has to pay 500 rupees. Who is that? Anyway. So, our spending habits changes. So, a lot of changes happen. Right? And there could be much more also. We will not go into the extensive discussion of what changes. But, all these changes are fine. But they are of no value. Or they are of very little value. If there is no, say Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. There are very little value if there is no change of the heart. And that is why this chapter is so befittingly entitled. What is this entitled? Pure devotional service, the change in the heart. So ultimately what counts is how much your heart has changed. Because all these things are external. And that is why the previous verse to this verse is explained. I will actually read it. It will be very interesting. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill in the eyes and hair stands on end. So, he said that certainly that heart is steel framed. A very interesting comparison. The heart is steel framed. It is grossly bounded by a heavy thing called steel. What is the heart? A sadhaka's heart is supposed to be soft. But what has become of us? That our heart has become steel framed. And that is the problem. That is what we need to address. And this chapter, I'm sure many of you must have attended the previous classes, but this chapter has some amazing, amazing details that needs all of our attention, which I thought, since it was the end of the chapter, it would be good for the next 5 minutes, or maybe next 2-3 minutes, to really understand what is this chapter talking about. Just to get a context of why this verse is spoken. Now you please give us continue speaking. Why is this spoken? Because there is a context to it. Because everything in Bhagavatam is contextual. It's a connection. So in the words 17 of this chapter, Prabhu's very, it could be a life-changing verse if you hear it properly. Because it has been my life-changing verse. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So, apparently you find it, what is there in this verse? What is so life changing in this verse? But this verse, as I heard a beautiful class of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, one of the very, very legendary acharyas and gurus in our ISKCON society. And of course, he's no more. And his speciality was a concept which he introduced and which I personally would try to follow in my own life, is what is called the emergency consciousness. He said that a devotee has to be in the emergency consciousness. And what does it mean to be an emergency consciousness? Now, many of us sitting, as I see people sitting here, young people, none of us, including myself, we have not seen a war in our life, thankfully. But our previous generation, I'm sure Rishabhanu Prabhu and many of the people in that generation, you have seen a war. You have seen India-Pakistan war. You have seen India-China war. And I know, because it was explained to me by my parents, that when there's a war, that means there was a complete blackout at that time, right? And then, you know, and no, you can't on lights, because the whole idea is that the enemy should not know there is the people staying below. Because if you on one light, they know something is there, they will start bombing that place. I remember my parents were explaining that, you know, we used to have the sink, they used to light and make their food in the stove below the sink so that light of the food doesn't go up. I mean, all of, so that's, and you know, suddenly there would be sirens sounded. I mean, you know, I have a very close friend in Israel right now. I've been in touch with him for the last every day. We speak to each other. There's a whole community of devotees, by the way, in Israel, in Tel Aviv. And by Krishna's mercy, they are all very safe, by the way. And that I was talking to him, and he said, suddenly there's sirens been, and on that fateful day, they were having a big event, and suddenly they heard this siren. So when there's a siren, it creates a tremendous, what does it say, the siren? It says, it's an emergency. You please run. Right? So, the siren is 100 times more loud than the ambulance siren that you hear on the road. That siren is that intense. So when there's a siren, it creates an emergency, and then you run, and you know that the only thing important right now is to run. Nothing else is important. You have to just save yourself. That's what an emergency siren means, right? Nothing else. You just gather whatever you can in the next 1 second and run to save your life. And that is why it is explained by Acharya. Samsara bishana lele dibanishi hyajwale juraite na koinu upai. That this samsara, it is also said, samsara dava nalali daloka. This samsara is burning. It is constantly burning. That means it is an emergency situation. When something is burning all the time, it is emergency, my dear friends, right? And that's why Bhaktivedanta Maharaj said that a devotee should always be in emergency consciousness, because there is danger at every step and any step. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Those people in their rave parties in Israel, they didn't know that they were going to be killed. Brutally. What's going to be coming? It was absolutely, of course, it was sad what happened. But that's the reality of the material world, my dear friends. That anything can happen at any time. And that's why I said that both by rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of life. We must all understand that every single day that you see the sunrise and see the sunset, you should be knowing that it is one day closer to your end. And if you know that it is every minute, every second, and of course we are not trying to make anybody get into a paranoia of, oh my God, every minute is getting over. What do I do? No, that's not the idea. But to be conscious that every minute that I spend should be spent in such a way that I achieve the purpose that I'm supposed to achieve. That this verse is very, very important in Bhagavatam. Decreases the duration of life everywhere except for one utilizes the time by discussing topics of all good personality of Godhead. That it decreases our life, but only for those who are utilizing their life, their time, and discussing Krishna Katha, they are safe. And then further is explained is that if we are not Krishna conscious, genuinely Krishna conscious, very graphically explained that what are these ears? We have these nice ear holes. But if these ears are not engaged in Krishna Katha, if Krishna Katha is not entering these ears, then they are no good than holes of snakes. Now please, don't just see that, oh, he has snakes in his holes. She has snakes in her holes. No, it is you. This is reality, Prabhus. Bhagavatam is talking reality. That if your ears are not engaged in Krishna Katha, they are like holes of snakes. And what do snake holes do? They are dangerous. They are just poison-filled creature, which can destroy you, right? If your tongue is not speaking Krishna Katha and not chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, then if your tongue is not chanting Krishna Katha, that tongue is like a tongue of a frog. Again, I would like to share that, this was many, many years back, I went to somebody's house And, you know, that person knew I was a practicing devotee. So there was a TV going on. So obviously I didn't want to say that, please shut the TV. So I just told them that, can you change to National Geography? Because, you know, animals don't disturb you as much as human beings. I didn't tell him that. But as a National Geography, at least it is. So, and I was sitting before that other person who I had gone to meet. He had not come yet. So I was sitting, I was seeing National Geography. And how, of course, you know, Krishna arranges the right thing to be seen at the right time. So I was seeing, and you all have seen National Geography, right? The way they videograph is very, very, very professional, right? So they had a video right focused on a frog, and the frog was sitting on his hind legs, waiting, and taking his tongue out. And a long tongue the frog has, waiting to really, and then they shifted the video to a fly flying around. So here was a frog, and here was a fly, and then the video shifted, and shifted to a snake, was the right word, slithering through the foliage of the jungle. The snake was about to attack the frog, and the frog was about to attack the fly. And this was, and they created a, and I was, this is exciting. I said, this is wonderful. And I tell you, it was such a life-changing and deep learning experience for me that to this day I remember it graphically. So the snake, in the most unexpected moment, captured the frog. And 1/4 of the frog's body was in the snake's mouth, and the snake, through its contraction and expansion contact, was just surely just getting the frog inside. And I know it was a very gruesome experience, to say the least, where I could see that the frog was like, you know, two legs inside, and the hands like this, and just going inside. But what was most amazing. And how it was such a revelation of the material world, that the frog was 1/4 inside, and then the fly came near the frog, and the frog took the tongue out, still trying to enjoy that fly, as we call the Last Supper. But it didn't get the fly. The fly went off, and was consumed. Right? So this is the story of our life. We work hard till the last moment of our life to enjoy. And if you're trying to enjoy through a tongue, the tongue is no different than a frog's tongue trying to enjoy. But you know for sure that every second that is clicking on the clock is like that snake surely taking away your life. Graphic, isn't it? Bhagavatam is graphic. It explains that the hands, they are glittering bangles. But if the hands are not engaged in service of the Lord, then they are like dead. The bangles on a dead person. What's the use of a bangle on a dead person? What do you do with it? If your hands are not engaged in the Lord's service, your eyes are not seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, please see, cannot find a more beautiful thing to see than what we are seeing right now. But our eyes keep on wanting to see so many things. How difficult it is to close the eyes, right, Prabhu? When you're chanting, some sound. The eyes are constantly wanting to see, trying to enjoy seeing, like the frog trying to use the tongue. The eyes want to see different things. But he explained that if the eyes are not seeing the symbolic representation of the Lord in the form of Om, or you're seeing the form of the Lord, if you're not seeing that, they are like eyes in the plumes of a peacock. You have your peacocks, there are so many eyes on the peacock's plumes. What's the use of that eyes? They don't do any function. And of course, the legs which don't go to holy places. Kartik, everybody wants to, many of us are going to holy places, right? We want to use the legs. Otherwise, our legs are always used to do also the mundane things. But if the legs are not used to visit holy places, they are like tea trunks. 100 rupees. 100 rupees. So, the tree trunk, tree trunk is good, but they don't move. It's just of no use. But the legs which are going to Krishna's holy places, they are real legs. And the person
who has not received the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee and who has not smelled the tulsi aroma from the Lord's feet is like a dead man. He's like a dead person.
Bhaktapada dhuliyara bhaktapada jal bhakta bhukta avaseshati na mahabal. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains there are three most powerful things for making progress in Krishna consciousness.
Bhaktapada dhuli, the dust. Bhaktapada jal, that water from the Vaishnava. Bhakta bhukta avaseshya, the remnants of the Vaishnava.
So it's explained that if you have not received the dust, if you have not received the aroma of the tulsi of the Lord's lotus feet, then you may be breathing, but you are breathing dead. And the purport very nicely explains, Prabhupada's first line says, who is the breathing dead? Who is that? A ghost. Huh? A ghost is a person who is dead, he has no body, but he's still active, so you are a ghost. So we are all ghosts walking around here. Most of the people are breathing dead people because they are not engaged in receiving the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. They don't receive the lotus feet tulsi aroma of Lord Krishna. This is not my verdict. This is Bhagavatam's verdict. And the last thing is that heart which does not change by chanting Hare Krishna, that heart is suddenly steel framed. How many of our hearts have changed? And of course we can say, oh yeah, it did somewhat change. But that's very, very subjective. Because the real test of whether heart has really changed, we cannot do it now. It will all be dependent upon at the last moment of our life. And please understand one thing. Please remember this one thing. All of us like to do planning. We all plan. We all plan many things. Yes, all of you? We all like to plan. What are different types of planning that we do? We do financial planning. Right? I want to really plan my finances properly. And so that, you know, I have the right amount of money invested. I have the right amount of money for my education, for my child's education. So we have financial planners and they do financial planning, right? When you begin your journey, you plan your journey, right? You have your Google, you see, okay, how much minutes it's going to take. So in every phase of our life, we do planning. Yes, you agree? We plan our careers, we plan our education. Before even child is born, the parents start planning which school to go. They buy a house near their school. So like that, right? Lot of planning, right? We all plan. And we all get very used to our planning. What happens when the plan does not fall? It doesn't go exactly as per our plan. What happens? And it does happen that things don't go as per our plan. Yes or no?
Yes.
It does happen that it doesn't go as per our plan. And you are saying yes for that, right? Yes. Yeah, so things don't happen as per plan. You know, suddenly, you know, many times you see on the Google is 20 minutes, and then suddenly you see a crash and you feel frustrated what's happening. Right? This is a small example, but in our life, you give exams, the exams have not gone to best for your plan. And sometimes people plan for those competitive exams for 5 years. 5 years of their life is dedicated to a competitive exam, and that exam for 3 hours has not gone the way you wanted. It's completely ruination of all your plans. Yes? I can see many people smiling. Right? It has happened in our lives. We have planned something, not go as per our plan. So, but we're still very, very used to planning. But as I was observing, as we see things around, we obviously learn, we want to learn from those things.
And the most important part of our life, money is important and we plan money. Career is important and we plan our career. Our travel is important, we plan our travels. But the most important part of our life is that last moment of our life. The last moment, right? That's the most important. Anta kale chamam evam smaral mukta kalevaram. The one thinks that at the time of death, that moment, you will achieve that. So that's like the sum and substance of all our life. That last moment. You agree? It's a very important part of our life. And that's going to come to all of us. Every single person, every single creature will have a last moment. But the amazing thing, Prabhu, is therefore that most important moment of our life, we cannot plan that moment. Can we plan the last moment? Can we plan, let me plan my last moment. At last moment, let there be people around me and the right amount of tulsi, right amount of dust. And can you plan that? Is there anyone who can plan their last moment? We cannot plan. We cannot plan our departure, but we can prepare for our departure. Very important. What is it? We cannot plan for it, but we can prepare for it. Oh, that famous song comes to my mind. What is that? Departure. Itna to karna swami jab pran tan se nikle govinda naam lekar mera pran tan se nikle. So here, what is this particular poet praying? He's not saying that, I've planned everything. At the last moment, I will say Govind and I'll die. Is it possible? But he's just praying that, itna to karna swami, oh Krishna, please, this one favor. I'm trying to prepare, and the best way I'm preparing is to pray to you that when that moment comes, let the word Govind come from Maya. So, this thought came to my mind that what is the quality of our heart is obviously discerned at the final moment of our life. And we have two examples, and I must mention it, of two examples of people whose lives were a preparation, and that's why the final exam they were successful. We have one of a very, very dear God sister, Satyavati Mataji. Many of you must be knowing. I mean, I was so personally, so intensely touched by her departure just a few days back. Amazing. So of course, I knew her. She was staying in Pune. And we knew each other. So she's much senior in by age and otherwise also. There's a lot of collection happening today. Please make sure you give 100 rupees here. I'm telling you, Krishna, if there must be some punishment for all this mobile phones. Because what's going on is very important, Prabhu. Please don't let these phones disturb you. That whole week is there to get disturbed. At least for this 2 hours, let's not be disturbed by this stupid gadget, right? Yeah, okay. So Satyavati Mataji, she had cancer, and the doctors a week back told that, there's nothing that we can do now. Nothing. And they gave a particular time of that you have so much time. One of the days, one of the early mornings, she just tells the devotees who took care of her that, please, I want to take I want to take a bath. So of course she couldn't. I don't know details, but they gave her bath. They said, now put tilak on me. She was conscious. Say, put tilak on my forehead. They put tilak. So put Brajraj on my forehead. And they said, please get Tulsi. So the devotee was going to get the Tulsi. It was 3:45 in the morning. He said, no. Then she was so conscious. He said, don't pluck the Tulsi. It is early morning. Don't pluck Tulsi. What the Tulsis have fallen in the pot, get that Tulsi. She tells this. And she tells her, please offer this Tulsi to the deity's lotus feet. And put the Tulsi on my forehead and put Tulsi in my mouth. And can you imagine? She leaves the body after that. She tells all these things and she leaves her body. She was a grihastha with children and she did all her duties of life. She was taking care of her in-laws, she was taking care of everything she did. But her heart had significantly softened by the practice that she was performing every day. Every day, Prabhus, is a way we can prepare for that final exam. Every single day, every activity we do is a preparation. Let's not take any activity in Krishna consciousness to be a ritual, to be mechanical. Let's be intense in whatever we do. And that is what Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj says, to have that emergency consciousness in when we are executing Krishna consciousness. That if I don't do this activity, I'm finished. That's emergency consciousness. Because every moment that you are lost is lost forever. Right? That's what the verse says. So, the steel frameness of the heart, or whether it is softness of the heart, cannot be judged. But of course, we can judge by our behavior. But ultimately, whether that heart is soft enough for Krishna to come and reside. Krishna does not like hard surface. He wants a soft surface. We all also, right? You've given a choice between a soft sofa and a bench. Where will you go? Unless until you are a tapasvi, you know, you will say, you go to a soft place, right? You know. So Krishna likes to have a place which is clean. Divya Brindaranya Kalputrumada Simandatnagara Singhasanasto Sri Sri Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prasthalibi Sevya Manosmarani. Sorry, I didn't get that. What is that? Govindji's, what is the pranam mantra? Jayatam, no, that's the next one. This one only I said, right? Yeah, Singhasana, yeah. So what I meant is, Ratnagar Singhasanasto, as explained, there our heart, if you have to create a Singhasana in our heart, where Radha and Krishna can sit, but you cannot create a Singhasana in a dirty, filthy, hard place. Her heart has to be soft enough, and that's why the Bhagavatam again and again explains that you cannot have a steel framed heart. The heart has to be softened. And how do we soften the heart? By regular practice of Krishna consciousness every single day. Chanting Hare Krishna every single day intensely. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So devotees, they plan that, and we are all planning, because that fateful day, of course we are not planning in a pessimistic way, in a way where we are, as I said, paranoid about that moment which will come in my life, or I have to plan. No, that's not the mood. The mood is that, you know, whatever I'm doing, I want to do it for pleasure of Krishna. The Krishna is pleased with me, because when I do need Him most, He is with here. And not only he, Srimati Radharani also will come with him. And then my life is perfect. That's the perfection of my life. And that's what this great devotee, Satyavati Mataji, another greatest example, Sundar Gopal Prabhu, we had a beautiful memorial service of him yesterday. Very genuinely simple Vaishnav. Those who are old timers, then we all know him. Sometimes I felt that even if I breathe little heavily, he will be affected. He was so gentle. You know, very gentle, very, very humble, but determined Vaishnav. And what sort of glories were sung yesterday in that memorial service? And what a determined book distributor he was. And Krishna reciprocates. If you have a lifetime of dedication, Krishna is reciprocating. And he was in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. The last moment he was chanting Hare Krishna till the last breath of his life. Everything auspicious was there in his mouth, everything auspicious was there on his forehead, he left his body. Now, please understand, these are not some, dynamic preachers who are, of course, Satyavati Maharaj was a dynamic preacher, and nothing against dynamic preachers. But those who are just simple practitioners of Krishna consciousness, they might not be known to the world. Sundar Gopal Prabhu was not known to the world at all. Nobody knew him. But somebody knew him where it really matters. And who is that? Krishna. Krishna knew him and Krishna gave him that that what I call it, the silent escape. We should just have a silent escape from this world. Let us pray that, yes, we all have a very silent escape. We just go, escape from this crazy place and go to the realm that we really belong to. So a devotee is always planning that, you know, where we have Krishna and we can always remember the form of the divine couple in front of us whenever we really need it. There is a devotees are very, very smart. You know, there's one beautiful story that comes to my mind just now. That how smart devotees are, because, you know, so there was this one Baba in, this is a Vrindavan story. There's a Kadamba Khandi. Kadamba Khandi means a place where a lot of Kadamba trees grow. There are many Kadamba Khandis in Braj. And there's this one Kadamba Khandi means the Kadamba trees. There's abundant growth of Kadamba trees, you know, and they grow not just straight, they grow, you know, they're all over the ground. So this Baba would perform parikrama. This was a couple of hundred years ago. He would perform parikrama and he had his whole jata. He was a jatadhari Baba. He had a jata and he was walking. His jata got entangled in the Kadamba Khandi. And obviously, the more you try to disentangle yourself, you get, it's not easy, right? Once you entangle, you do anything. A very, very easy example of those who have flown kites, right? We used to have a manja which was stuck, and the more you try to remove, it gets more stuck, right? I remember, and it was like, you know, and the small kids, you know, who have nothing to do, we would give them, achal nikal, sab kuch nikal, you know, so he, you know, so more you try to do it, more it gets entangled. So he just stood like this, and he made up a resolution that the person who has got it stuck will remove it. जिसने ये किया है वो निकालेगा. Who is the cause of all causes? Krishna. So he said, Krishna has made it happen, now I'll remain here and let Krishna. So then, you know, he remained for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Nobody knew. It was a very, very solitary place. And then after the fourth day, this is a real story, and this is just contemporary, this is just a few hundred years ago. You know, after on the fourth day, one boy came, you know, jumping and running, and you know, he said that, Baba, kya, what happened to you? I said, can I remove? He said, no, don't touch. I said, why don't want any help? I said, no, the person who has got it entangled, he will remove, let him remove it. So he said, but who is that person? I said, I will not tell you. You go. So that boy was feeling really hesitant. I said, Baba, please tell me which is the person. I said, you know, Krishna, he has got it stuck, let him remove it. So the boy went. The next day he came. He said, Baba, please, you are still stuck. Let me remove it. I'm not feeling very happy. I said, hey, don't touch. The person who's got it entangled, let him remove. So then, suddenly in front of the Baba's eyes, Krishna came. He said, Baba, I am that Krishna. Let me remove it now. I said, Baba, I said, wow. But as I said, devotees are very, very chatur. And this is a beautiful example how smart devotees are. Say, I'm the Krishna, can I remove the baal? I said, don't touch. I said, abhi kya hai? I said, which Krishna you are? So Krishna is thinking in his mind, what there are, how many Krishnas are there? So I thought there was only one Krishna. I said, are you Devki Nandan Krishna? Are you Mathura Krishna? Are you Yadavpati Krishna? Or you are Nikunj Vilasini ke saath rehne wale Krishna. We say, I am a devotee of Nikunj Vilas. Jo Nikunj Vilas karte utke mein, oh Krishna ke mein, I am a devotee. So that Krishna said, you know what? I am that Krishna who is Nikunj Bihari. I am that Krishna. I said, don't touch. I said, I am telling you. I said, hey, ho hi nahi sakta. I said, abhi kya problem hai? I said, if you are Nikunj Bihari, you cannot come alone. You have to come with Radharani. I said, you know, Nikunj Bihari is never alone. What rubbish you are talking. You are not that Nikunj Bihari. Don't touch, go away. And then suddenly, from nowhere, boom. Who comes? Srimati Radharani ki. And then he had a beautiful darshan of the divine couple. She see Nikunj Vilasini and she Nikunj Bihari together. And then Baba said, Abhi nikalo. Because devotees are very chatur, they are smart. They said, what is the use of seeing Krishna without Radharani? No fun. And we can say this with all conviction in this month of Kartik, because this is her month. This is Srimati Radharani's month. So, you know, so this devotee, so what I'm trying to say is, devotees have a very smart, they prepare themselves. And I've seen devotees praying, you know, that when the last moment comes, let me have the divine darshan of Sri Radha Krishna. Krishna alone is not acceptable. I want Radharani also to be there. Because that, so since she is like a mother. So like that, when we plan, so what I'm saying is we cannot plan our departure, but we can. Let us all make this statement very, very ingrained in our minds. That we can plan everything in life, but we cannot plan our departure. The last moment, whenever it comes. But we can prepare for it. And how do we prepare for it? How do we prepare? And that is why we want to discuss for some time now on what are the things that make our heart hard so that we can avoid it. Now, because there are few things in our spiritual practices which we do which will make our heart hard. Our process of bhakti is supposed to make our heart soft. But you do those things, they become hard. And what are those things? First thing, you don't really celebrate and you don't really cry. This is one line I've written. That we become so very engrossed in ourselves that we don't have time to celebrate other people's success and we don't have time to cry for other people's difficulties. We are just very self-centered in our own so-called Krishna consciousness. But Krishna consciousness cannot be self-centered. When Krishna shows His mercy, it is called daya. But that same daya which we have received from Krishna, when extended to other living entities, it is called anukampa or compassion. What is it? It's called anukampa. You cannot say that you have daya if you do not have anukampa. Because that anukampa is nothing but transformation of that daya of Krishna for other living entities. So if you don't feel for other people in your life, you are just so hard-hearted, well, let them go on, I don't care. That is a sure proof that your heart is hard, steel-framed. We should feel for people. Para dukhe dukhi. So that's the first thing that We need to develop that right emotion that yes, when somebody is going through difficulty, we should feel for them and not be too self. Many times do you feel, honestly, ask yourself, I'm not asking for a reply here, but ask yourself in your heart that many times by the so-called practice of Krishna consciousness, we are just so in our own cocoonized Krishna consciousness, that we become very self-centered. We don't care what, I'm just bothered about my own Krishna consciousness. I don't care how the world is going. That's sad. And I've seen many people in that unfortunate situation. That is the sign that your heart is hard. Many times, you know, another thing that makes your heart hard is when you start faking your emotions too often. You have no emotions, but you, because you are a devotee, you have to show some emotions. And the more you are faking, the more you are trying to be duplicitous in your emotions, the more you show something which you are not. You think that world is thinking that, you know, he's a nice person, but be sure what's happening internally. If you are trying to be duplicitous in showing the world what you are not, that is slowly but surely making your heart very hard. Are you getting the point? You have to be, I mean, of course, I'm not saying that you have to be shamelessly open to whatever your feelings are. But you have to be, you cannot be just faking. Many times, devotees have this problem. Many of us have this problem. Because what we are aspiring for is something very lofty. Something right here. And when you search in your heart, you find yourself right here. Huge distance. Where you want to be and where you are. So what is the two ways that you can achieve this? One is, you work hard. You do your intense sadhana. You take association of Vaishnavas. You read Srimad Bhagavatam and do all the process of Krishna consciousness. Slowly, 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 slowly. You can reach here. But another way, a very easy way, apparently easy, is just to show to the people and show to yourself that you are here. And that's what is called duplicity. What is duplicity? Duplicity means to show what you are not. You just show to people, you know, I'm a nice devotee. I wear tilak, I wear kantimal, I chant Hare Krishna, I close my eyes and move my head something very intensely. I'm a nice devotee. Wow, very nice, very nice. And you do all the activity, you talk like a devotee, as I said. You do all the activities of a devotee, but it is a big show-off. It's a big duplicitous act. As we say, it's like a pondraka-like facade that we have of a devotee. What is pondraka? Pondraka was not Krishna. Right? So devotee may have that pondraka-like facade of being a devotee, a false facade. Makes your heart hard. Be sure about that. You'll repent in your life later on. And another thing is, yeah, I just used that phrase, but the more often you are saying to things and to people and to circumstances, the phrase, I don't care, that is a sign of your hard-heartedness. I mean, you might not speak it, but if that is what is your tone is, or that is what your mind is, I don't care. It's happening in Israel. I don't care. It's happening in Ukraine. I don't care. It's happening in Bihar. I don't care. This devotee is struggling. He lost his mother. I don't care. I have my mother. This devotee become a bankrupt. I don't care. I know I have. You see your bank balance. The more you use this phrase, or more your thinking process is, I don't care. Big problem. And another last point is, when after practicing Krishna consciousness for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, so usually in 5 years we have practically done everything that is required to be done in Krishna consciousness. We have been to Vrindavan, been to Puri, we have been to Mayapur, we have seen yatras, we have even gone to what do you call Kumbh Mela, all the things, we have gone to Rath Yatras. So all the things we have gone, but are you getting what I'm saying? We usually have done these activities by the time we have spent 5-10 years in Krishna consciousness. And after some time, what happens is, you know, we have this what is called buffalo syndrome. You have seen buffaloes? You know, buffaloes, they just, in especially, when you go to Pawan Sarovar, you know, buffaloes are all around, and they just enter the Pawan Sarovar and they just sit like this. You've seen buffalo that you shout at them, they just, nothing affects them. Nothing really affects. So a devotee becomes like this buffalo syndrome. Nothing excites him. Vrindavan, very dirty. I'm not excited. Mayapur, a lot of politics. I'm not interested. Jagannath Puri, pandas, very dangerous. So over time, it's a sad thing. It's a sign of a hard heart. Nothing excites you. Nothing makes you feel happy about, because you are just seeing the negativities of life, and you've forgotten to see. And what this is called cynicism. Cynicism, you become very cynical. Cynical means you see everybody around you. Whatever they are doing, you think that they are all motivated with self-interest. That's the definition of cynicism, or cynical, being cynical. Everything you say, they are all self, they are all doing it motivated. And you, nothing excites you. Are you getting the point? And many times we do go into this situation. We don't feel excited the way we used to be excited earlier in Krishna consciousness. Everything we did, exciting. Oh, Janmashtami, jai, Janmashtami is coming. Janmashtami, oi seva, oi fasting, oi yoga. Oi katha, Krishna is born, Damodar Leela. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I hope I am able to express myself, that we don't get excited, we don't get enlivened, we don't get enthused. And that is a serious problem, and which is a sign of showing that we have a hard heart. And the one powerful antidote to making your heart soft is by hearing Krishna Katha. That ambrosial nectar of Krishna Katha, regular hearing of Krishna Katha, can completely, slowly but surely soften our heart. And in this holy month of Kartik, we would like to just, and it's very special to hear Krishna Katha, Krishna Leela, Braj Leela, in the holy month of Kartik. It really gives tremendous purification. So as a servant to all of you, we would like to just discuss and end this discussion with a beautiful story from Vrindavan, with your kind permission. So this was a discussion between Krishna and Satyabhama. You know, husband-wife sitting together. And so, you know, many times husband-wife they sit together and they discuss about your school. What did you do in school? Because, you know, husband-wife are not in the same school. They're different. So the husband says, you know, I did so much in school, I did this, and the wife says, and so like that. So Satyabhama and Krishna were sitting, and Satyabhama said, you know what, I heard that you were created, you had done the most amazing thing, that you created pearls growing from trees. What exactly you did? How did it say? Krishna said, yeah, it was, and Krishna was ecstatic to just remember that. So Krishna went, and then by the way, this pastime happened that I'm going to share with you on the holy day of Diwali, which is in the next few days, in the month of Kartik. This pastime happened. So the gopis were all assembled in a place which is near Sri Radha Kund. Even now it is there. It's a place called Malihara Kund. It is just 2 minutes away from Radha Kund. If you are going, Shivkhori is here, Radha Kund is here, you go opposite is Malihara Kund. So all the gopis had assembled there, and they had small pearls. They had got different special pearls, and they were making malas of pearls. So Krishna's parrot, Krishna has many, many pet animals, and Krishna's pet parrot is Vichikshana. You know, he flew, and he told Krishna that, Krishna, the gopis are here. And they have a very unique thing today. They have very beautiful pearls. So Krishna went to this to the gopis and said, please, my humble request is, I love pearls. You know, can you give me some pearls? You know, so obviously, what you are expecting, Krishna will ask the gopis, oh yes, Krishna, please. Many of us are expecting that, right? Because Krishna is Bhagawan. So then Radhani said that, you know, you go to Lalita Sakhi, she will give you. So Krishna, like a obedient person, he went to Lalita Sakhi. He said, Lalita Sakhi, please give me the pearls. Lalita Sakhi, sit down. I'll give you. So she had a whole box full of pearls. She opened the box. And if she wanted to give the whole box, she would have just taken the pearls and given like this, right? So she was searching inside. And she found one pearl which was broken. I said, Krishna, take this pearl. Now go. Please understand, this is the sweetness of Braj. The place where Krishna does not act as if he is God. But he is God. Please never forget that. So Lalita Devi just gave this, and Krishna said, please don't be so. I said, go away. This is all that you deserve. Because Lalita Devi is, she's standing right here. So she is one of the most dominating gopi. And Krishna also is scared of her. Yeah, that's her personality. So he said, go away. So Krishna went, felt very sad. He is still just around 7-8 years old. So he went to his mother and said, "Mother, give me pearls." I said, "Why you want pearls?" He said, "I want to have many pearls. So I'll plant pearls, and the pearls will grow in form of trees, and I'll find more pearls." And Mother Yashoda said, "Krishna, you are so innocent. It doesn't happen like that. Pearls are found in ocean." Krishna said, "But if I plant the pearls, they will grow." I mean, Mother Yashoda, out of her yoga maya, said, "Okay, you want it." Mother Yashoda is always ready to please Krishna. I said, "Okay, take this pearls." She gave a lot of pearls to Krishna. Krishna went to the bank of the Yamuna and called his friends, Madhu Mangal, Sudama, Stoka Krishna, everybody came, and they dug holes and they put pearls. And they were regular. And then of course they said, "But we have to water." But I said, "Water with this water will not be. We have to water with milk. We have to water. You have to put milk over those pearls. Then it will grow nicely. But we have to get milk because Krishna has no." I mean, so he said that let the gopis are nearby. Let us ask, milk from the gopis. So then one of the gopis, Madhu Mangal, went and said, "Krishna wants some milk." I said, "Why you want milk?" I said, "He wants to water the pearls that he has." I said, "What?" The gopis started laughing their way out. I said, "I mean, we knew you were fools, but now you are proving that you are fools." And the leader of all the fools is your Krishna. He is the fool samrat. How can you have pearls growing like this? I said, "Get away." So the Acharya is right, and there's a whole book written by, there's a whole book on this pastime written by none other than our Prayojana Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami. He writes a whole book called Mukuta Charita. This whole book is on just this one pastime, which happened in Malayarakund. So he goes into details. Of course, we don't have time for that. But he said that all the gopas got was the laughter of the gopis. So then they said, "What?" Krishna said, "Well, nothing doing, I'll go back to my mother." I said, "Mother, please give me some more milk." And then Krishna got a lot of milk. Mother Yashoda is always there to please Krishna. So she gave milk, and then he put milk every day over those pearls. And then there were little green sprout. And the Krishna called all the gopis. "Come, see. See, Krishna loves to share his happiness. Please understand. That's Krishna's personality. So sweet is his personality. Krishna is not happy to just have his own. He wants to call and say, See, this is what I have. This is the same gopis who didn't give him pearls, didn't give him milk, but he wanted to show them the pearls. And the gopis, just wait, thorns are growing. Pearls will not grow. Just wait for some time. Thorns will grow. Just thorns are growing. Because thorns grow anywhere. You are watering, so thorns are going to grow. But in some time, this pearls grew the tree, and is explained by our acharyas that there were big, multicolored pearls. Which usually pearls are what color? Original pearls are white color. But when Krishna plants the pearls, he had multicolored pearls, and these pearls were extremely fragrant. Practically, the whole Braj was spread by the fragrance of these pearls. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan ki jai. So Krishna planted, the pearls grew, big, beautiful, multicolored pearls, fragrant. And Krishna plucked them. And there are so many pearls, so many. And Krishna started making garlands. And there are so many pearls, and he wanted to take badla from the gopis. Because, that's what spiritual world is all about. Sweet revenge. In material world, it is just revenge. But in spiritual world, it is sweet revenge. That revenge gives more rise to sweetness. Even holy. Holy is what? Revenge. You throw. But in material world, when you start throwing, you start fighting. But in spiritual world, you throw, it's sweet revenge. What you see here, right in the painting. It's sweet revenge. So Krishna wanted to have everyone in Braj the pearls but the gopis. So Krishna made so many garlands. He said, it's explained by Acharya, all the sheeps, all the goats, all the cows, all the buffaloes, all the monkeys, all the peacocks, all the people had pearls all around their neck. So many pearls. But gopis had none. Unko nahi denega. They had none. So, Then gopis went, Krishna, sorry, yaar. Thoda ek. No way. Get going. The gopis also said, abhi dikhayenge. So gopis went to their houses and Radharani planned and they said that we'll collect all the pearls from our family members. They got all the pearls. They said, without fail, return it. I said, three fee mein milta hai. Pearls, wapis mangta hai. At least the initial pearls. You might not give me more pearls. They said, no, don't worry. We are going to have a lot of pearls. So then they also planted the pearls. And then gopis said, Krishna, put milk. We will not only put milk, we will put milk, curd, butter and everything. So our pearls will be more ecstatic. So they put ghee, butter, buttermilk, milk, everything they were watering the pearls with. And they were waiting. And then small sprouts came. I said, jai. And then as they grew, what grew? Thorns! So then the gopis were so damn embarrassed. So they said, Abhi, how do we go home? Abhi, oh, purse to gaya, Abhi, it's gone. Where is it? And they were so embarrassed, just so very embarrassed. Now Krishna does not like to embarrass his devotees. Please understand. On a serious note. Krishna brings us to the edge, but he will not want us to jump. Never. Krishna is so sweet. He saw that they were embarrassed. So I'm sure there will be tears in your eyes to hear what Krishna did next. So Krishna said, okay, get all gopas, you come. And then, it's a long story, I'm cutting short because I'm already over time. So he just called all the friends. And he had unlimited supply of pearls, right? So he said, he made pearl garland for each gopi and he wrote their name. Sri Radha, Sri Lalita, Sri Vishakha, Sri Tungavidya, Sri Rangadevi, Sri Sudevi. And he made boxes and he was at Malarakund and he sent them, because the gopis were at Radhakund, and he sent them boxes. And this is my gift to all of you. If I am enjoying, all of you should enjoy pearls. So Krishna, of course there's a long beautiful story there. In between there was a fight, so they were not able to find some conclusion. They made Subal the mediator. All these things you can refer the story on your own, but sufficient to say, and what I want to really draw your attention is, again, coming back to the point of our disciplic succession. And these are the words of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj after this story. He said, the multicolored fragrant pearls of compassion of Sri Radharani and Sri Krishna have been passed down in disciplic succession and has been presented to us by Srila Prabhupada, the Vaishnavas and the great souls. We should not take these pearls to be something ordinary unless we understand even to some extent the value of these pearls, of this opportunity we have. We will lose it trying to enjoy the thorny pleasures of this world. Yeah, so this is what our acharyas have given us. This is what a disciple succession has given us. The beautiful entrance to the spiritual world. The beautiful understanding of how we can really soften our hearts and attract Krishna in our heart. And how we should really try to avoid any scenario, any situation which really makes our heart hard-hearted. So that Krishna has nothing to do with their heart, right? So let us all pray today and for the next couple of days of the month of Kartik that we all learn to value the disciple succession. We learn to value Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters and all the knowledge that we have got from them. And we engage ourselves into intense Krishna conscious activities every single day of our life, because any moment or any day missed is a huge loss. But let us all not necessarily plan, but let us all prepare that whenever we really need Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they will be very kindly, mercifully based on our devotional service, and mainly 99% based on their own mercy, that they will be there to really help us at the moment that we need them the most. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. श्रीमद् भागवतम की
जय।
जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की
जय। हरे कृष्ण नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसिद्धाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचार्य निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पार्श्वजगदीशतारिणी జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరి